This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and writing in children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
It's important for parents to monitor what public schools are teaching their children and also what the schools are not teaching. If you want your children to grow up to be patriotic citizens, they must be taught American history as it really happened, not as the liberals wish it had happened. It's become pretty clear that the liberals would like to wipe out our religious heritage and pretend we've always been a very secular nation. Today's schools seem to be more concerned with teaching our kids a philosophy of political correctness, diversity, multiculturalism, and feminism. One way to teach the truth about our heritage and dispel false myths is to take a trip to Washington, D.C., and read the many religious inscriptions that are engraved in stone on our famous monuments. Another way is to honor our nation's birthday today, the 4th of July, by reading and rereading the Declaration of Independence. As you read the Declaration of Independence on this 4th of July, reflect on the fact that it is America's great religious document, the official affirmation by the American people of their belief and faith in God. The Declaration affirms God's existence as a self-evident truth that requires no further discussion or debate. The nation created by the Great Declaration is God's country. The rights it defines are God-given. The actions of its signers were God-inspired. Many of the men who signed the Declaration paid for their courage with their lives and fortunes, and that's why we are able to enjoy our freedom and independence today. The Declaration contains 5 references to God. God as supreme lawmaker, God as creator of all men, God as the source of all rights, God as the world's supreme judge, and God as our protector on whom we can rely.
Surveys show liberal professors outnumber conservative professors on college campuses by 10 to 1. At the Eagle Forum Collegian Summit in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19, outstanding conservative leaders will equip students with moral and intellectual defenses to challenge left-wing ideology. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy 3. This is a massive savings of $600 on a 4-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site again is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy 2 bottles and receive a 3rd bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
In these unpredictable times, you can never be too prepared. Mentally, physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show with your host, Bob Tuscan.
The neighbor of Secret Service Special Agent Sam Kinney, who was there, of course, the tragic day Sam drove the backup car behind the presidential limo. He's coming on for some groundbreaking information that has not been revealed to the public. Sam Kinney, the Secret Service agent, told our upcoming guest, who will be on in approximately 10 minutes, that, he told them several things that pertain to the events on that day, and he was asked to put this information after his death and his wife's death, and he will be doing so tonight on the Bob Tuscan Show. But riding along with us for this JFK special of sorts, and we're going to get to other things as well, are two of the most paramount and enlightened researchers in the JFK and, well, for lack of a better term, truth community in general. It's the dynamic duo. We'll first start by bringing on Dr. James Fetzer. Jim, it's always great to have you. How are you tonight?
Oh, Bob, terrific. It's a real pleasure to be here, and I'm delighted Kevin can join us.
I am as well, and without further ado, we'll bring Dr. Kevin Barrett on with us as well. Kevin, are you there?
I sure am. It's good to be with you, Bob and Jim.
Well, there's so much energy here because we have the dynamic duo.
You know, I knew I'd never escape that name.
Tell us, before we get into all the JFK stuff, who exactly is the dynamic duo, Kevin?
Well, it was the name of the radio show that Jim and I started doing over on GCN back in 2007, I believe it was. And we continued on through late 2008 or something, and then kind of went our separate ways. But Mike Polachek, a novelist from Iowa, really liked that name, and he really liked our work. So he wrote a book called Dynamic Duo, A White Rose Blooms in Wisconsin, about Jim and me as kind of examples of the truth revolution, if you will.
It's awesome. I was lucky enough to obtain a copy of this book. And Jim, tell the listeners a little bit about what this encyclopedia of the Dynamic Duo contains.
Well, Mike was very clever about it all. He conducted interviews with Kevin and with me, and he solicited commentaries about us from friends and associates we'd had during our lives. He published a number of our articles and a number of essays about us by others, and it's combined with three photo sections and a bibliography. A lot of our stuff on JFK, on 9/11, and other topics, and I'm really kind of touched by it. I mean, it was such a wonderful thought he had that he would compare us with the White Rose resistance in Germany, who were these young people who simply couldn't tolerate what was happening to German society and the Third Reich, and they began writing pamphlets and speaking out about it. And as I observed the other day when we had a book signing at a local bookstore, the Frugal Muse here, they came to a difficult end. They were beheaded, and I was suggesting that perhaps Kevin and I might avoid that fate, but there's no guarantees.
We do better radio interviews if we haven't been beheaded.
I would agree with that.
If we still have our heads, yes.
Well, many people lose their heads, figuratively speaking, that is.
Yeah, that radio show was really terrific. It was on GCN. I was offered a week, and I wanted to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, so I invited Kevin if he'd do Monday and Friday. Mm-hmm. And I proposed a dynamic duo, and Kevin said, well, I guess that makes me the boy wonder. So I would often say on the show that, you know, I'll talk about the boy wonder. I don't think Kevin was as enthusiastic about that as
I was. You know, I'm in my 50s. That's a little old for being a boy wonder.
But you're so youthful. What happened was, I mean, what came to the end was that Kevin got involved in a campaign for Congress, and it was just taking too much time, so he couldn't maintain the radio show and campaign for Congress. So I couldn't do, you know, the dynamic duo solo, so we just let it go.
Yeah, I had too many radio obligations.
The bad decision I made is that Ted Anderson, who owns GCN, offered me the archives, and I just didn't have any idea what to do with them. I wish I had accepted his offer because they no longer exist.
One of the first things that I think put the two of you together in my mind was that early on you were both presented as scholars who were basically spewing crazy conspiracy theories about 9/11, and you both had a bit of mainstream, lamestream media publicity at the time. And Kevin, you really got a lot of play, as well as Jim, with that. Was that a bit of a trip for you to go through all that and to be put on Fox as the crazy conspiracy theory professor?
Well, yeah, I was actually their second choice. They tried to do it to Jim first, and he just knocked out Ollie North, made Ollie look stupid. And so then they came after me.
O'Reilly, right?
That was the Hannity show, but I guess maybe Sean was on vacation or something, and Ollie North was sitting in.
Okay.
That Jim just made mincemeat of Ollie North. It's one of my favorite YouTube episodes. So then a week later or something, they decided instead of hammering Jim for supposedly teaching conspiracy theories in the classroom, which Jim explained he hadn't done, but it was a great idea, then they came after me. And I hadn't really done that either, but I was planning to do 1 week on the so-called War on Terror in my Intro to Islam class, and I was going to cover all of the different interpretations, the neocon interpretation, the moderate interpretation, the majority Muslim interpretation, that it was an inside job. I was going to, be fair to all these viewpoints, let the students make up their own mind. But that was close enough to teaching conspiracy theories. So they went all out after me, and the state legislature went on a witch hunt. And so I got tons of publicity. In a way, it's too bad they didn't stick with witch hunting Jim, because, he was retired at that point. He had more time to devote to fighting back.
To fending off the attacks. Yeah, it was very funny. When the producer called me, he told me that they wanted to learn what scholars had discovered about 9/11. And that when he called me back and then said that Ollie would be sitting in for Sean Hannity. So I called my wife and I said, honey, I said, it's going to be very different. It's going to be a relaxed conversation between former Marine Corps officers. And she says, don't kid yourself. They're going to try to kill you. So when I'm in the weight room, I had them bring in the TV. And when I heard Alan Combs say, you won't believe what your students are being taught by their professors, I knew what was up. But I also knew they didn't know enough, to nail me. I mean, that I was going to have, much more command than they would imagine, and that's what, in fact, took place. They called me back when Sean was on a couple of months later, and then it was after that 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 O'Reilly had me on. O'Reilly's a totally different situation. I was sitting in a waiting room in a studio here in Madison for a half an hour with nothing, absolutely nothing, just sitting there looking at a blank screen. All of a sudden, O'Reilly comes on and says, I'm going to tell the country that you're a nut and hate your country. I'm going to tell the nation you're a nut and hate your country. Boom, and then we're on the air. That's what he did.
What a way to frame the discussion.
I know. And then he went launched on a big ad hominem and says, well, we'll let the audience figure out that. And then he goes on to a second attack. So, you're not really in the position where you can go back to the very first. So I just adopted a rope-a-dope, I just let him pound on me until I saw some opportunities to make rebuttals. And I really thought it had been some kind of failure until I was in New York, and after doing a big 9/11 thing at Cooper Union where I'd given my talk, Jan and I and some friends went over to a theater where Alex Jones was doing an event, and when we came in, they really treated us wonderfully, and they put me right up on a stand with first responders. And when I first sat down, the guy next to me leans over and says to me, "It was watching you on O'Reilly that convinced me it was an inside job." And I thought to myself, well, maybe it hadn't been such a bad thing after all.
Absolutely. Well, you got to reach out to people who have never considered this. And that's the thing about the mainstream media's coverage. They don't show you the collapse of Building 7. They don't tell you all these details that have been omitted from the 9/11 Commission Report and so on and so forth. But, gentlemen, tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about JFK in just a moment. And we'll be bringing on a whistleblower of sorts, the neighbor of Secret Service Special Agent Sam Kenny with never-before-heard information.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey, and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorn, Glucosamine Chondroitin, Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them, to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside me my spirit is weeping.
Okay, Gary Laux now joins us on the Bob Tuscan Show. This is the first time we're airing this information, and I'll let you be the judge as to whether or not you find it relevant and important. Now, 50 years later, just about 50 years later, of the largest event in the country's history, short of 9/11, of course, now. But this was an event that everyone will remember. It lives on still to this day, and there's still quite a bit of questions that the general public have, and they should have these questions. Okay, this was a coup in my eyes. This was a changing of the guards that needs to be exposed and needs to be, well, gotten to the bottom of. And without further ado, I'm going to bring Gary Laux on. Gary, you were the neighbor of Sam Kenny. Tell me about what you learned from him, and who was Sam A. Kenny?
Well, Sam was a real good friend, and of course he was my neighbor. He lived about 25 feet from me, and we hung around a lot. You know, we became good friends through the years, and I was his neighbor for 7 years, and then I moved up the road basically about a half a mile, but we maintained our relationship. But one evening back in 86, I stopped in to see Sam. It was kind of late at night, maybe 8:30, and he made us a drink. He said, sit down, let's have a visit. So he started talking about his life in general and starting high school and taking it right up to when he left the Secret Service. And he started getting in detail about his days at the agency. And he said he definitely saw and heard the shot from the grassy knoll. He said, I heard that, and I saw some smoke. I said, well, that's interesting because, you know, you've never talked about that to me before. He said, well, I did. And then he talked further on about a conspiracy. He says, it's impossible to take out a president, a leader of a country like ours, without some kind of a conspiracy. He said, one man can't do this. And so he was just, those 2 points just confirmed, you know, some news that was out at the time, some of the sayings and the stats and the investigations, you know, this could have happened, it may have happened this way, but when he said it, it had a lot more meaning, you know. He was there, he was in the car behind the presidential limo, he had full field of vision, you know. But then he told me something that it kind of is going to close the case on a 50-year-old mystery where the bullet CE-399 came from and how it got there. That's the bullet was found on the stretcher at Parkland Memorial Hospital. And Sam had found this while cleaning up the car and going through the presidential car. And he just picked it up and laid it on that stretcher. And I said, wow. I said, you know, everybody's wondered where that come from. He says, I did it. All right.
Is that the magic bullet?
I don't know if it could be really classified as the magic bullet, because I think that was the shot that went through President Kennedy, unfortunately, and then through John Connally, supposed to came out pristine. So I guess it is the magic bullet. But he found it, and he just laid it on the stretcher, and that was it. Never said a word. Until he told me, I don't believe he ever told anyone else. I don't believe he did, but if he did, I've never heard it in print or in any news reports or anything. So I said, well, that's cool. And then we got all done, you know. He says, you know, you can tell this stuff. And I said, okay, I'll tell it. If you want it out there, I'll tell it. He says, but I think you better wait until I die. I said, okay. I said, I hope it isn't anytime soon. And of course, he's been gone a while now. So, but I thought the 50th anniversary was a good time to tell this because he wanted it told. It, you know, I'm not looking for fame or fortune. I'm just the messenger here.
Right.
And I think he wanted to clear up the mystery of how that book CE-399 got there, and he just didn't want to tell anybody else but me. So, I said to him, "I'll take care of business when the day comes." So. The day's today, I guess.
Today is the day, and I'm glad you came out with this. Noted JFK researcher, none other than Dr. James Fetzer, is with us as well. Jim, what are the implications of his story here?
Well, I think it's a very nice clarification of two rather striking points. One is the origin of the magic bullet. Most of us had assumed that this bullet had been placed on a stretcher, probably by Jack Ruby, and that Sam Kenny did it is very interesting. Jack was hit by a shallow shot in the back, 5.5 inches below the collar to the right of the spinal column. It only went in about as far as a second knuckle on your little finger. It had been fired from the top of the county records building by a Dallas deputy sheriff by the name of Harry Weatherford, using a larger caliber weapon to implant a Mannlicher-Carcano bullet in JFK using a plastic collar known as a sabot, S-A-B-O-T. And it's very plausible that that bullet, remained in the limousine, worked its way out when they were just, you know, moving Jack around to get his body out of the limo after he slumped over to the side. I mean, I think that Sam Kenny's story makes great sense in that he at Parkland that he'd put it on a stretcher. And also, you know, I have long used a photograph from the pictures of the pain by Richard Traft that shows a Secret Service agent with a bucket of sponge water and a sponge washing blood and brains out of the back seat of the limo. And it was such an obvious case of destruction of evidence. And what we learn now is that the person doing that was Sam Kenny.
Gary, tell me about that for a moment.
Go ahead.
I want to ask Gary about this because this is fascinating. Was Sam conscious of the fact that he was essentially cleaning up a crime scene?
I can't really say what he was thinking, but what he told me was basically he didn't want the American people to have to see that. You know, he wanted to get the car cleaned up, and he didn't want the president to be remembered like that. And he just thought he was doing something for his president, not even considering a crime scene. I'm sure it didn't even, that day it was such a surprise and shock, I don't even think he'd even thought about it. But he was loyal to the president, and that's the way he took care of business. You know, he was covering his back, you know, and taking care of business, and that's just the way it was. He never said anything to me about, dang, I shouldn't have done that. I screwed up a crime scene, you know. Never mentioned it. He just said he wanted to get that car cleaned up and all that, the body mass out of it. And that was it. He didn't really go into great detail about it. As far as cleaning the car, he got the cars ready, put the top on them, and got them back to the airport, and got them loaded aboard the 130 and back to Edwards Air Force Base.
Gary, our listeners are very skeptical of all information, as they should be, and they think with a critical mind using critical thinking. Of course, Dr. Jim Fetzer is a logician. The question comes up in our chat room at bobtuscan.com as to what is the proof of this story? Do you have any, signed papers from Sam, or is this all based on what he told you verbally?
I never thought about ever having him sign any type of a document, nor did he ever mention it. I'm sure had it ever came to my mind, and I ask, he would have. But it's just his word to me. And
okay.
Wanted him out there. I'm kind of second-hand info, but I have no desire for fame or fortune.
No problem. Gary, stay with us, whistleblower on the John F. Kennedy assassination, talking about Sam Kenny, Secret Service agent, as well as Dr. Jim Fetzer and Dr. Kevin Barrett.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
It's no secret that Big Brother is spying on your web activity. VPNForAll.com protects your internet from tyranny with military-grade encryption. VPNForAll keep no records of your browsing, so you leave no trace. VPNForAll are in Holland, free from the NSA and police state jurisdiction. Easy to sign up and use. It stops all data mining. Go to VPNForAll.com immediately and stay safe. That's VPN, the number 4, all.com.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
It's the Bob Tuscan Show. Welcome back. We're going to jump right back into this. We have David with us, who was Sam Kinney's neighbor and longtime friend. And, you know, I was thinking, David, part of your credibility exists with your background, your personal background. You're a Marine, from what I understand, and you've never been one to necessarily believe in conspiracies, but this really touched you, and this personal information that you received from Sam was important to you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I was quite amazed that he trusted me with that information, you know. You would think that he would have given that to, you know, his Secret Service friends, which he may have, you know. But now he entrusted this information to me, and he wanted it put forth. And I guess I was the guy he picked. And I'm doing it now, so hopefully it... It's well received. It doesn't, you know, it's people who knew Sam, he was quite a straight shooter, very loyal, great American. People who know me know I wouldn't do something stupid like this if it wasn't true. But I wished I'd have gotten it on paper, but I didn't. And so it's my words. You know, it's coming from me. I wish Sam was here to tell you himself, but he didn't do it all those years, so I guess he was never going to tell anybody. You know, he never was one to give news conferences or get with the press. He did do a couple, two, three things with another individual, a couple to three interviews, and he did do a thing, I think it was NBC, back in 92 or 3, but they only put about 2 minutes of it on TV, you know, a three-hour shoot, and I was amazed that he did that. I was really surprised that he did do that, because he was pretty private, you know, when it came to that, and he picked who he would talk about it to. You know, he just didn't talk about it to everybody.
What did he do after the Kennedy assassination? Did he remain in the Secret Service, and if so, in what capacity?
I think he remained in the same capacity that he was. He was the backup driver. He maintained the vehicles, kept, you know, security on them. He even went to the Ford plant when they were being built. He would be there with the cars. And he stayed on as an agent until President Johnson came in, and he retired when President Johnson was in office. And he returned back to Palm Springs, Florida, and settled in. And he enjoyed retirement. He had a fifth wheeler, and he used to take off every year, him and his wife. And, he enjoyed the good life.
Exactly, just the regular American.
Stay out of the news, and retire and put it all behind him. And he often would have a lot of his Secret Service friends would stop by, and they would get together on occasion. And but he was retired, and he did do a little work for the local police department there for a little while. But that's about all he did. He just retired and enjoyed traveling.
Right. Gary, let me ask you this. A lot of people are concerned about LBJ's role in this. Did he speak of LBJ as a suspicious party?
Well, one time we were visiting, and he said something to the effect of, you know, when something like this happens, you have to look to see who would benefit the most. And he said all the fingers were pointing at LBJ. And he did say that. And he said, but, you know, it was talked about, it was discussed. I'm sure it was investigated, but nothing ever become of it. But he did say that, yeah.
Interesting. Dr. Fetzer, does that make sense to you, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything that he has reported fits together very well. In fact, he told me before how LBJ was very arrogant and authoritarian and directive toward the Secret Service, whereas Jack was completely compliant and supportive, and even mentioned that sometimes JFK would go out and have beer with these guys. That's really fascinating.
Wow. Gary, I'm going to let you go, but I want you to reiterate, just so it's out in the open one last time, all of the information. I'm just going to give you a few moments here to tell us once again, even if you have to repeat some of what we mentioned in the last segment, what exactly Secret Service Agent Sam Kinney told you and how you feel this is so important.
The basic three topics that I wanted to get out there was that he did feel and that a shot came from the grassy knoll. He said he saw smoke, heard the shot. So that confirms that. He also thought that there was a conspiracy to shoot his president because one man couldn't do it. And he's probably right on the money. One man couldn't do it. And three, CE 399, the bullet that was found on the stretcher, stretcher there was, and the Parkland Memorial was in fact placed on that stretcher by him. He found that bullet in a presidential limo, picked it up, and I believe he also said he had a piece of the president's skull, a small piece, and he laid them both on a stretcher. And that was it, and he just never, just like walked away and never said a word to anybody. And then, of course, they later on they found it in the hospital, but he definitely wanted it out there. He asked me to take care of business after his death, and he was my friend, and I'm doing that today.
He asked you not to release this until he was dead, and his wife was dead as well, correct?
No, I told him I would also wait until Hazel was here. And he says, that's a good decision. He says, that's a good idea. I said, well, I don't want people bothering her, you know. And so she was a sweet lady. She passed away in December of 2002. And so I'm about 11 years later getting it out, but it's a good time to get it out. On the 50th, so it may have some impact. It may. I hope it answers a question, confirms a couple.
Well, Gary, there are several conferences going on. Jim will tell us about one he'll be at in Santa Barbara. I know Dr. Kevin Barrett, who's also with us, is coming together with a great article on the JFK assassination coming up for the 50th anniversary. And this information will be another much-needed piece of this puzzle that we're still putting together all these years later. Gary, thank you very much for releasing this information now and having the wherewithal to do so, because it is important, and somebody like yourself deserves a lot of respect for coming out with this information, even considering the possible, blowback, for lack of a better term, that you might get from this. So I appreciate that, Gary.
No problem. Glad to do it.
All right. Thank you so much. And be sure to tune into Jim's show, Dr. Fetzer's show, tomorrow, where Gary will also be talking with him about this information. So that'll be at where's your show at these days, Jim?
Yeah, RevereRadio.net, Bob.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, there you go, folks. That was Gary Laux. He was the Secret Service agent Sam Kenny's neighbor. And he's sharing with us some information that needed to be told and added to, this piece of the puzzle, this puzzle that we're still working on here all these years later. Let's see here. We have only a couple minutes before the break, but I want to bring Dr. Barrett on for a moment and get his take on this. Kevin, what do you make of what we just heard?
Well, it's very interesting, and I didn't hear anything that would make me really doubt what Gary was saying. It's very interesting, this story of picking up the magic bullet, putting it on a stretcher, and mm-hmm. cleaning out the limousine. I wonder whether he might be more, whether the agent was more complicit than he would have let on. You know, you sort of always wonder when you get these kinds of, you know, quasi confessions or, you know, blurt outs, like whether the guys are blurting it all out or whether they're only blurting half of it out. But Jim, who's more of an authority on this case than I am, seems to find that it all seems to fit pretty well together.
Is that the case, Jim?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Kevin's got it right. Yeah, what he's saying is very interesting on a couple of very significant details because, you know, I mean, my presentation, my lectures on JFK forever have included both the magic bullet and that it was ostensibly found on a stretcher, probably dropped or left by Jack Ruby.
Awesome. Well, we'll get into Jack Rubenstein in just a moment.
And I use this. Justin
Show. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states.
Buy your Pure Effect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase
it out of earth. Sure, McKnight for helping arrange that, and she'll be writing an article at some point to get the word out on this topic. Very important. And of course, Dr. Jim Fetzer is joining us, who has been doing extensive research on this topic, and we also have the benefit of Dr. Kevin Barrett. We're going to get into the JFK assassination in greater detail next hour. We'll also open up the phone lines as well, in addition to having Jim stay on the line with us. But this segment, I want to talk with Kevin a little bit here, Jim, and bring him into this conversation a bit more. Kevin, you know, 9/11's not the JFK assassination is not ultimately your main topic of study, but you do look into many different things, and you're very, very much informed on Israel's role with things. I've heard it mentioned that John F. Kennedy was perhaps going against the grain when it comes to the state of Israel. Do you know if there's any validity to this, and do you think that feeds into this discussion here?
Yes, I think there is. You know, I just interviewed Laurent Guyenot, who's a French scholar with some very impressive academic credentials in both engineering and humanities, who's just written a book called JFK 9/11. And he says that he thinks Michael Collins Piper's thesis, expressed in Piper's book Final Judgment, which is that the Zionists played a much bigger role in the assassination than most researchers realize, is very likely true. And based on what I know, I think that's probably the case. You know, I'm not a newbie to JFK. I actually saw Mark Lane give a presentation on the conspiracy when I was in high school, and I read every book on the assassination that was worth reading right up through the early 1990s. And I only slowed down then because, well, number one, two-thirds of the American people knew the CIA did it, according to polls, after the film JFK came out. So my work was done, I figured. Yeah. And then also I was going back and getting my PhD and had other things to do. So I'm a little, I'm not really up to par on the research post-93, and that's exactly where Jim Fetzer came in. He jumped in then and became one of the world's leading authorities, if not the leading authority, based on what's happened in the research since then. But getting back to your question, I'm also going to be interviewing Michael Collins Piper for my radio show tomorrow, I believe. And I think his book makes a pretty good circumstantial case. You know, the different angles that we can look at are that, well, Bobby Kennedy was obviously killed by Zionists. They framed a Palestinian, Sirhan Sirhan, made him look as if he hated Bobby because Bobby was friendly to Israel, which, of course, wasn't the case. John and Bobby were both hostile to Israel and its organized crime assets in the U.S., which were all under control of Meyer Lansky, who was basically a Zionist and the top mobster. John F. Kennedy was trying to shut down Israel's nuclear program at Dimona. That was a very significant part of President Kennedy's attempt to stand up to the militarists and the warmongers in the world, which is detailed in James Douglas's book, JFK and the Unspeakable. But Douglas and almost all the other JFK researchers never go where Michael Collins Piper goes in his book and point out this Israeli role. You know, some other areas are that indicate an Israeli role are the role of James Jesus Angleton, who clearly played a role in killing Mary Meyer, the love of JFK's life, to cover up the JFK assassination, and who probably played a much more significant role in the assassination than we will ever know directly. He was involved with trying to divert attention towards the Soviets through his treatment of defector Yuri Nisenko. Angleton was reputed to be very, very tight with the Zionists throughout his life, and in fact, he may have been a Mossad mole. He spent his life pretending to hunt for Russian moles and acting paranoid, but he was probably just projecting based on the fact that he himself was an Israeli mole. So there are a whole lot of these Israeli connections. Jack Ruby, nay Rubenstein.
Jack Rubenstein, yeah.
Right, was another mob enforcer who, there were all sorts of people letting slip that about this Israeli angle. Jack himself talked about the consequences to my people that could come from this thing while he was in jail. And in fact, we just learned today, or at least I did, they just declassified some documents over in Israel. And Roy Taub, who is a whistleblowing former Mossad agent, just published a piece about these documents in which we have Golda Meir expressing terror to other Israeli leaders that Jack Ruby was alive and in custody. And so Roy Taub interprets what Golda Meir said as saying, oy vey, Ruby's alive, we could get caught.
I find it fascinating that Jack Rubenstein, a.k.a. Jack Ruby, was a childhood friend of Lee Harvey Oswald. And Jim, this is something that I'm sure you're aware of, right?
But I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Bob. I had muted. Yeah, go ahead.
No problem. So, yeah, I find that to be very interesting. Kevin, had you heard that as well?
Oswald seems to be growing up in this kind of overlapping intelligence agency over organized crime milieu. And I think there's the Zionists have an advantage in both of those milieus. There has been, there's a long history sort of Jews in European culture not being allowed to enter certain professions and being forced into criminal areas such as lending an interest, which was one of the worst crimes throughout most of Western history. So there developed this sort of don't rat out your fellow Jews mentality, and that gave the Jewish community, or that element of it that's involved in organized crime, a real advantage. And then when Israel came along with, you know, earning the fanatical loyalty of a lot of the Jewish population, suddenly there was this huge army of volunteers to be Sayanim, or helpers of the Mossad. You know, no other intelligence agency can get help like that for free the way the Mossad can. And since organized crime was largely controlled by Meyer Lansky, an ardent Zionist, and who was the banker for organized crime, who controlled the money for organized crime.
Yeah, one of the most infamous Jewish mobsters. And I'm glad you make the distinction, Kevin, that it's certain elements of criminal Zionism and so on and so forth. Because I happen to come from a Jewish family, and I know my family and the family member, the friends of our family who are Jewish, and the guy who owns the deli and the accountant. You know, those are all stereotypical roles of Jews. But the point is, I know many of them are not involved in this sort of usury and mob-like activities.
Of course
not.
So
I want to make that distinction.
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, in America today, you know, the Jewish community has taken a certain hit in the 9/11 truth community for various reasons, but it's a real tragedy.
You dropped off for a second. You were saying the Jewish community has taken a certain hit.
A certain hit among 9/11 truthers due to the Israeli angle. And
the Mossad must be intersecting our wires here. Jim, we have about a minute.
Yeah, Kevin's right on. I mean, I think your points are impeccable, Bob, about, you know, not applying stereotypes. I mean, it's like that anyone who is critical of the actions of the government of Israel is supposed to be an anti-Semite. What could be more absurd? Anti-Semitism involves discounting the value or opinions of individuals on the basis of their ethnic origins or their religious orientation. Criticizing Israel for its abuse of the Palestinians, for example, doesn't fall into that category, but it's a convenient semantic club for those who want to advance the interests of Zionism.
And when we talk about cultures, you know, we always paint with a very broad brush, and we don't like to say negative things about any culture, but every culture, you know, the ones I know, Arab culture, Muslim culture, Irish-American culture, they all have good and bad aspects, and the same is true, of course, of Jewish culture. And in the wake of the Holocaust, people aren't supposed to say anything bad about Jewish culture. In fact, Jewish culture has great, wonderful aspects like emphasis on education, and a sense of humor and so on that it's fine to talk about. But if you talk about how historically the persecution of Jewish communities led to this tendency for a small, you know, a certain group within the Jewish community to gravitate towards organized crime and get a certain amount of you know, cover-up help from a larger element of the community, you know, you're not supposed to talk about that. And you're not supposed to talk about the downside of Zionism and so on and so forth. But I think we need to be able to put everybody on the same playing field and be free to talk about positives and negatives and the, you know, honest, accurate assessments of all kinds of people, all kinds of cultures.
Agreed. Well, you should call a spade and have an open discussion here. Nothing should be taboo. The truth is the truth, and that's exactly how I present this show. So, we're coming up to the bottom of the hour here, the top of the hour, rather. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion with Jim Fetzer, Dr. Jim Fetzer, and Dr. Kevin Barrett. I want to hear about the events they have coming up. I want to hear about what Dr. Kevin Barrett has as far as his research is concerned on the horizon. And we'll reiterate what we just heard from the whistleblower on the John F. Kennedy assassination, who was Sam Kinney's neighbor. Lots to get to on tonight's pre-JFK assassination anniversary special right here on The Bob Tuscan Show.
The Bob Tuscan Show. With